Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. This show is turning into a must-hear radio version of wrestling. It's the Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Ralph Williams, Smoking Jim Frazier, sitting around probably the Roberto Clemente Bridge in Pittsburgh. 347-205-9631. Show's 45 minutes long now. You wanted it. We gave it to you. You can also catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Ralph, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? We'll give it over to Smoke and Jim. And then we got an array of topics with 91 people already on.
You can get a hold. I'm doing good, Mark, actually. I'm doing real well. It was great to be on last night with Peter Blake. You can get a hold of me at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com, my Facebook page, Ralph Williams. Also, Wimkin, Twitter, you can get a hold of me. And I have a Facebook page, Sports Corner, Wrestle Talk, and The Way I See It, where you can also catch my Sports Corner and my Way I See It shows there, and Wrestle Talk on there as well. So that's how you can get a hold of me, Mark.
Great. And Smoking Jim, how can they get a hold of you?
Hey, thanks, my man, Mark. Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier. Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Well, I'll tell you guys, as we lay the thing down here, I know, Ralph, you and I were on Tampa last night talking about it. Peter Blake was talking everything about, you know, how it must have been one of the best wrestling extravaganzas in quite a while. Vince McMahon's out, Triple H, Stephanie running this thing. And when you looked at SummerSlam coming in with the tractor with Brock Lesnar and everything, it was something. But, you know, we've seen this dog and pony show before. We've seen three matches now with Brock Lesnar. He's lost them all to Roman Reigns. I can't anticipate a fourth one because I said this yesterday in Tampa. I'll tell you this in Pittsburgh. The belt ain't coming off of Roman Reigns till WrestleMania when The Rock will challenge him in SoFi Stadium. Any thought to that? We'll give it over to Smoking Jim.
I thought SummerSlam was a really good card. I really enjoyed the matches with Logan Paul against The Miz. I thought that was a good match. I liked the Pat McAfee match against Happy Corbin. I thought that was a good match. I thought all the matches were really good, especially Bobby Lashley against Theory. You know, I was happy to see Bobby Lashley retain, and I was happy to see Theory walk in the locker room with his head between his legs or whatever. So it was, you know, interesting to see that. The Ronda Rousey match, I kind of scratched my head about. And, you know, so other than that, it was a good show. I was told that Monday Night Raw, that the locker room now is getting behind Triple H, and the morale is back to being where it once was. And so we'll see what happens. We'll get it over to Smoking Jim, see what he thinks about SummerSlam.
I tell you what, I haven't thought about it too much until Mark Mancini just said that The Rock coming back could take the title away from Roman Reigns, even though they're related. But everybody knows I like the man, you know, Becky Lynch. And I look for, and help me out with this, Ralph, I think that they're plotting to have Becky Lynch and Bianca team up as tag team partners and maybe win a title.
Yeah, I think that might happen. They're going to win the – I think they're going to – if they do team up, they're probably going to win the tag team belts if that's the case. But I know they are going to team up real soon against Bayley's bunch, you know, because Bayley now has a faction. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. And that was the big news, too, at SummerSlam, her showing up there. And then Edge helping out the Mysterios against Judgment Day. That was an interesting scenario there. You know, but we'll see what goes on. Charlotte Flair is supposed to be coming back real soon. I think she might be coming back Friday or maybe sometime in the next few weeks. So we'll see how the women's division kicks off with her coming back and Stephanie in charge. She was the one who boosted up the women's division for the WWE. We're going to see what happens as that goes along here. Mark?
Yeah, no, you brought up some interesting points, and, you know, we'll get into some of these matches, but we'll give it over to you first, and we'll give it to Smoke and Jim, and I'll throw my two cents into my favorite match and why it was as we get to some of these questions here momentarily. Ralph, take us through what your favorite match was and maybe what your worst match was.
I thought the best match was that I liked, or the two that I liked actually, was, again, as I mentioned, the Logan Paul Miz match, and I liked the Pat McAfee Happy Corbin match. I thought those two matches were very good. The one that I was upset about was the Ronda Rousey match. I didn't like that match too much because I thought Ronda Rousey was really going to, as Peter Blake said last night, was really going to dominate the match, and then it turns out that it ended up being a head-scratcher. And the Bianca Belair-Becky Lynch match was good. Becky Lynch came up, shook hands with her. Now, she has an arm injury, you know, and her arm is in a sling, and it's going to be interesting to see where this goes with that. I'm sure Triple H has something up his sleeve, and the women's division will start getting back to being strong again. They're going to bring the tag team belts back. Naomi's coming back. Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks is coming back. It's going to be an interesting women's division with all these people coming back and getting back involved. Smoke and Jim?
Well, anything with Roman Reigns involved in it is always going to be my favorite. I think that he's well on his way to maybe perhaps ending his career as one of the top 10, top 5
yep.
Professional wrestlers of all time, over 700 days. I think another match that I really enjoyed, like Ralph said, was Jake Paul, more so because he said that wrestling is his calling now. He inked a multi-year deal, you know, so he'll be around for some time. But I'm still scratching my head a little bit about what they're going to do with Bayley. You know, Bayley was a big star. She was hard to beat before the injury. And now I don't know if her and her crew's going to be like the toxic twins or, you know, what they're going to do. But it should be interesting.
Well, if I can jump in there, and I love that, the toxic twins, and let me get to some of these comments before I reply on that. Sal out of Germantown says, guys, one of the best matches, and the tractor coming in there to turn that thing over almost, Roman Reigns falling completely out of the ring, that was a classic. We all knew where the Logan Paul Miz thing was going to go. I'm surprised the Usos didn't drop the belts, and we'll get all into that. Thank you, Sal from Germantown. Benny coming in, and he's coming in from Las Cruces, New Mexico. He says, guys, you got a great show. I love the 45. At least now we can get more of you, and then I can eat my dinner and get back to my second job. So Benny from Las Cruces tuning in. So we got a lot of things, but here's the thing that, you know, when you bring up Bayley, and I thought Bayley was going to come back because the talk was she was going to come back as a face. I didn't realize she was coming back as a heel. Sasha Banks comes back. And let's face it, Ralph, what you said, Ronda Rousey is a typical heel. She wasn't good as a face. She has that look that it's strictly a heel thing. And I said yesterday in Tampa, and you could put all these people together and you could throw Bianca Belair in this thing. To me, the sassy southern babe there from the south, Lacey Evans, is got the best mic skills I've seen on a woman in quite a while. And she comes out there, and she is great. And that's the one you got to elevate there is Lacey Evans. I keep seeing, you know, Bianca with the belt, this one, Becky Lynch is down now. So if you're going to get in the women, my choice is to get the belt around Lacey Evans. I don't know what you think, Ralph, and then we'll give it over to Smoke and Jim.
Well, I agree with you on that, Mark. Lacey Evans, you know, she come back from pregnancy, and, you know, she had some injuries. It's great to see her back, great that she's using her Marine background as involving it in the mat, and, you know, in her appearance on the shows. And you're right, she does have good mic skills. And it's interesting to see, you know, like Smoke and Jim said about Bayley with that faction. You know, I would have thought they might have done something better because, as I mentioned before, women's division is really going to get hot now because you've got all these guys, all these ladies coming back, and it's going to be real interesting to see how this goes. We could see it again where there could be another women's pay-per-view like there was before. And, you know, NXT, you get their women involved, and, you know, that was a pretty interesting pay-per-view a few years back when they did that. I actually thought it was pretty good. Smoke and Jim, what's your thoughts?
Well, I tell you what, I got to agree with Mark. I've been a Lacey Evans fan all the way back when she was the sexy, you know, country, you know, lady coming out, and everything she does, she gets over on. That right hand is unbelievable, but I love how she comes in the ring now, and if she doesn't get the applause that she expects, she walks right back out in the ring. I love that. And, yeah, I think that I'd like to see more Lacey Evans for sure.
Yeah, and bringing back Kai and all that, that's fun and everything, but, you know, what are we doing with Liv Morgan here? You know, what are we doing with some of these characters now? And I don't want to use the word characters in a disparaging remark way, but, I mean, what are we doing with all these people? I mean, you know, we've got, you know, the superhero out there, you know, Rhea Ripley there. And I mean, it just, the list goes on. She's pretty much with the other guys, you know, the Judgment Day. But what are we doing with some of these people? Because they're getting lost in the shuffle now. Ralph?
Yeah, it looks like, Mark, like you're right. It looks like it's going to get too crowded. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When you have too much talent, you don't know what to do with them like AEW does, to where now you have AEW wrestlers want to come back to the WWE because they're not being positioned right, you know, in the storylines and everything else. So, you know, it's becoming a situation over there where it's getting too overcrowded. So now the women's division at WWE is starting to look like that. So now Triple H has to figure out what are you going to do with all these women? How are you going to position them? Are you going to put, you know, tag teams together? And is Lacey Evans going to be able to, you know, like you said, get the title, an opportunity at the title? We got Charlotte Flair coming back. So it's a crowded women's division. You know, if Doudrop and the Super Lady there disappear, I wouldn't care, you know, but because them two, I don't, you know, if they could get them two out of there, I think that would be good. And as far as Liv Morgan goes, she should go back to NXT like Mandy Rose did. Mandy Rose is the NXT Women's Champion down there, and now they got a Women's Tag Team Division, too. So, you know,
Carl, before I give it over to Smoke and Jim, Carl, coming in from Pompano Beach, Florida, said he listened to us last night in Tampa. Good job, guys. Doudrop looks like Earthquake's wife, or maybe Typhoon's. He goes, second to you, Mancini, on Storm. She looks great in that black bikini that you guys were talking about last night. Doudrop.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that. Earthquake's wife. Tugboat's wife.
Smoking Jim, any comment? We'll give it over to Ralph.
Hey, I tell you what, I don't know how anybody, you know, can get pushed Doudrop off of them. There was a couple of times where I thought for sure in some of her matches she had the pin, and next thing you know, somebody pushes her off. But when Bianca Belair was able to drop up on her shoulders and drop her one time, I thought that was incredible.
Oh, God. Hank from Waco, Texas said, they should just do a stint where Doudrop just sits on the wall and we all sing Humpty Dumpty Doudrop fell off the wall.
Oh, here, I got a good one for you, Marcus. Thank you, Jim. How about Adrian Adonis? That might be Adrian Adonis.
Oh, hey, I got to tell you about Adrian Adonis because let me tell you something about Adrian Adonis. My first wrestling event was an 8-man tag team, I remember. It was at the old sports arena. Well, before now, it was. I've been to the ones at the Olympic Auditorium and all that, but my first one in the sports arena was an 8-man tag team, and it was Adrian Adonis part of that, I remember. And I think the Macho Man was in that thing and everything. That was a hell of a one. I remember Adrian Adonis, great wrestler. You know, he'd come out there, you know. And the only one that kind of played that similar role to Adrian Adonis, you know, a skinnier version was Goldust. And now we're getting a lot of comments on Adrian Adonis being one of the best. And somebody goes, how about her? God, let me get this guy because I don't want to, you know, make sure I'm passing people up as we're well over almost 2-something here in live listens.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, we're getting hammered here. Arnie coming in from Bellingham, Washington says, you know, the one guy that nobody gives respect to that seemed to be in shape the best was Hercules when he came in with that chain and everything. Wow, we're getting, some comments. And I don't want to differentiate from what we're talking about tonight, but guys, man, we're getting comments, and I'm trying to filter them in as we're talking topics here.
Yeah, hey, my little dog Bailey here, he wants to get into the show, right? There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah, I want to talk about Ric Flair's last match, Mark, and Smoke and Jim.
Yeah.
They had a nice little card. I want to compliment Jim Crockett Productions for putting this together. You know, Jim Crockett Productions hasn't been around in a long time. Tony Schiavone was the announcer. They had Mike Chiodo, the referee, and it was an interesting match. And the card was interesting, too, because it was the return of the Dudleys. And, you know, so that was good. They had a few other matches. Eddie Kingston was on the card. I forget who he was teamed up with and who he was fighting. But they had a pretty – it was a really nice card. It was interesting because Nashville had SummerSlam, and then they had Ric Flair's last match, too. So it was interesting. Jeff Jarrett was involved in two different events with two different companies, which was actually quite interesting. Smoke and Jim and Mark, what's your thoughts on Ric Flair's last match?
Give it over to you, Smoke and Jim, first.
Well, I tell you what, it's sad to see the Father Time catch up to some of the legendary guys, man. I'm not sure it's Ric Flair's last match, but it was built that way. I hope he doesn't get in the ring anymore. He's getting up there in age, but man, I tell you what, you're talking about somebody that helped put wrestling on the map. You didn't miss an event, a TV show, if you knew Ric Flair was going to be on there, man. One of the true all-time greats. It's, like I said, it's sad. It's sad to see the George Blandas of the world get old.
Well, here's the thing where you know, I like Ric Flair, and I like the whole limousine wheeling dealing. I've seen a shirt on that, unbelievable, where the whole script is laid out, and it's unbelievable if you see this, with the whole thing. But when you look at, you know, Ric Flair, the thing that sticks in my mind is, what the hell happened with him and WWE at the end? I mean, that's really a mystery that I don't quite understand. I mean, the falling out between him and McMahon, you know, the buildup was there and everything. We saw the storylines with him and Lacey and Charlotte and all that, but he didn't really want to pull that off to really do it or something. Or, you know, you heard a lot of rumors on that, but does anybody really get down to the bottom brass tacks on – maybe Ralph, you know, or Smoke and Jim, what was the falling out with WWE? Because Vince has had a lot of these things happen with guys that he's worked with in the past.
I hear Ric Flair is the problem. I mean, I know Vince McMahon is an egomaniac, and I know he's had some issues with wrestlers over the year, but lately I've been hearing some bad stories about Ric Flair. I've been hearing he was hard to work with. I was hearing that, the gentleman we have here, Mark Madden, who used to do a wrestling show, and now he don't do anything because he's upset because something happened between him and Ric Flair. And, I mean, that was, you make friends in that business, and then all of a sudden Ric Flair wants to say something or do something and cause a problem. This made national, Mark. I mean, and Smoke and Jim, this was on Conan and the Disco Inferno's podcast about this rift between Ric Flair and Mark Madden. And, he's caused rifts otherwise as well. But people had to work with him. And, it was an interesting, he was hard to work with. And I guess the ego, when you get two guys like Ric Flair and you get a guy like Vince McMahon, and they both have egos, and it's going to be a combustible element because that's exactly what happens when you have two people who have egos. I liked Ric Flair's matches. I enjoyed watching them, and, he's a good entertainer, and he put butts in the seats and everything else. But, I don't know what happened with them in tail end in the WWE, but I do know when you get two egos like that, that's what happens to you. Smoke and Jim, what's your thoughts?
Well, it seems everything comes down to money, 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 money. anything beyond that is rumors and speculation. But I know that Ric Flair, Mark said, he's a willing, dealing, Rolex wearing son of a gun. And if you put enough dollar signs, everything is all good with Ric Flair, I believe.
Well, I think you put it down right there. Rumors and speculation. That's basically where the thing goes. And, and now let me get to, I didn't know this. We've got John coming out of Chelmsford, Massachusetts, listening. He's a regular listener to the show. Thank you, John. He basically says, hey, guys, have you heard the potential bad news for AEW after WarnerMedia's budget cuts? I haven't followed that, but, John, thanks for breaking that news here on WrestleTalk across the country with yours truly, Mark Mancini, Ralph Williams, and Smoking Jim Frazier. Well, Ralph, I'll give it back to you on that one. What's your thing? He's basically saying, they might be in trouble sometime next year. WarnerMedia's been happy, as far as I could see, with AEW, despite inconsistent ratings on a weekly basis. But what's your take on the bad news coming maybe for AEW after these budget cuts?
Well, TBS and TNT have been shuffled around for a little while. AOL had them. They got rid of WCW. They didn't like wrestling. It took a lot of doing for Tony Khan to get this contract for this TV deal for AEW. That would be interesting because AEW and the WWE right now are the only ones on TV. Everybody else is streaming service. You have Impact on Axis. You have MLW on some kind of streaming service. I think they're on that Fight Network where Smoke and Jim and Luther and Claudio do their boxing show. And they also, you have NWA. They're on the Fight Network also. And so, I mean, there are a lot of these streaming services, and pretty soon it's going to just be the WWE guys because that's going to be on TV because I don't think anybody else can really afford to. And AEW lost $50 million last year, and I don't know how that happened, but somebody's not managing the books right over there or something, because they're selling out arenas and novelties and everything else, and I just don't get it with them. But I think it's because they're overpaying all their wrestlers. Tony Khan's got all these high-class wrestlers that came from the WWE, and they want big salaries, and he's just signing them one after the other. And, I believe that's probably what it is. And if he loses that TV deal, guys, AEW's going to be in trouble because that's what your biggest thing is the TV deal. I don't care about streaming services. Okay, TV deal is your biggest thing. And WWE has Fox, which means, and I said this last night on Peter Blake's show, you could have a converter box and still be able to watch SmackDown on Friday nights, okay, where you can't watch AEW unless you have cable. So, you know, or you stream on their website or something like that. So that's what it's going to be leading to real soon. And I hope that AEW watches their P's and Q's with this Warner stuff, because if they're making budget cuts, look out. Smoking Jim?
Yeah, I mean, you said it all, Ralph. I agree with you 100%, buddy.
Mark?
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. I mean, I can't say it any better than when you laid it down, you know, Ralph. I mean, you know, we're getting this insight from the great listeners that listen to the show and the spell it out. You know, this is what happens, you know. It takes a while to get up that mountain. You don't want to come flooring off overnight, and that's what some of these organizations tend to do. And we've seen it with WWE, and now we're getting another comment. I'll bring this guy to the forefront. Trevor coming in, and basically he's coming in from Winter Haven, Florida. Says, guys, the problem is with the wrestling, look for WWE maybe to be sold here within the next year or so. There's no way they can do anything without Vince McMahon. Any thoughts? And he'll sit back and listen to us. Ralph, your thoughts on that? And then we'll give it over to Smoking Jim, and I'll throw some salt on this.
You know, he is right about that. I mean, a lot of people admire Vince McMahon. He was number one. Okay, he was, his wrestling organization bought out his competition. And, you know, Vince McMahon's a successful guy, and a lot of people respect that. He brought wrestling to the forefront, and his organization, the WWE, and is a publicly stock marketed company, and a whole lot more. So it's not... he's no fool in there. Now we have a different regime running things, which is, you still got the McMahon family, you got Stephanie. Shane is no longer welcome to do anything anymore because of that stuff, that stunt he pulled at Royal Rumble. So, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon's, he's been around a long time, and a lot of people respect him, and he brought the wrestling business to what it is today. Smoking Jim?
Hey. A lot of people thought NFL was going to go down when Pete Rozelle stepped down, and then when Paul Tagliabue stepped down. Hey, with Vince McMahon built with the WWE, it's going to be here, I think, beyond our lifetimes. I mean, 70 billion views. The people are loving it. All the sports combined. Professional sports combined, they'll come up to 70 billion views. So I think it's live and well. All they got to do is just keep the gas in it and keep the oil changed, and it'll keep running smoothly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This is a wrestling show, but one guy's been bugging me to get a comment in here. This is Mr. Brown from Youngstown, Ohio. Before I get to his comment, I want to say hi to Captain Jet. He's on the show listening today. He'll be on part of that the Eat Me Cooking podcast that's coming up with John, Eli, and Peggy right after this. So, hi, Cap. Hope everything's going good. We'll see you shortly. Mr. Brown from Youngstown, Ohio, says, hey, guys, I love wrestling and everything, but I can't get the bad taste out of my mouth that Deshaun Watson is part of this organization here in Cleveland. Any thoughts on the Cleveland Browns situation? It's your show, Ralph and Smoke and Jim. You can comment on this or we can pass it, but he wants to talk Cleveland Browns for a sec.
Yeah, we could do that real quick. Smoke and Jim and I, we do a TV show together, and we talked about that a little bit tonight. And, Deshaun Watson is a disgrace. Cleveland Browns, they got egg on their face. I said that last night. I said it on the TV show tonight, too. They're, once again, making bad mistakes and decisions. So here we are. They have a guy who is involved in all this trouble, and the league only gave him a 6-game suspension, which they're now appealing the NFL. So we'll see what this judge does. She's the new law now for the NFL. Anything that happens like this has to go through her. And so here we are with this situation. And we'll see where the Players Association goes with this as well. You know, of course, they're going to get involved. They don't want any kind of a suspension if they represent Deshaun Watson the way I think they can. You know, so we'll see what goes on with that. Smoke and Jim, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, like I said on a few other shows, including the show that you and I do together, Ralph, is I don't know that much about it. What I do know is that the NFL employed an arbitrator, a retired judge, who's a female, Sue Robinson, and she only dished out a 6-game suspension. Mark, I think this thing can get ugly if it goes to federal court. Now you're going to start digging up things on Ben Roethlisberger, Kraft, and who knows the filthy things that will come out in court. I wish that, you know, it would just go away, but it's going to get, I think it's going to get uglier as we move forward.
Well, I think you both brought up an interesting point, and I said it on the Tampa show yesterday in between these kind of topics, that, you know, I look at accountability, I look at integrity and character of a person before I look at talent. I think talent, you can develop it to a certain extent. Yeah, we all get some kind of talent to do something, but if you practice it to perfection, you're going to get up to that point. The problem here is a guy got, you know, and I always say this with people, you can take the kid out of the city. Sometimes you can't take the city out of the kid. And I don't know the upbringing of Deshaun Watson, but I will tell you this. If you're getting a boatload of money and you got a problem with the wrong head, then you need to, you know, and you like women that much, then you might want to, you know, get an alcohol service 7 days a week, and then you have no problem with this thing. But if you're messing around with somebody that has all the intentions that you don't have, as far as she knows you're a professional athlete, and, you know, she's looking at it in more ways than one than you are, and you've messed around with 22 of these women and got 66 happy endings, well, you know, you've got a problem on your hands now. And having a lawyer try to back this thing up and say, well, we didn't have that and it's not true and everything, you can get away with maybe one or two of these kind of situations or cases in perspective, but you're not going to get away with 80-something of these cases. And you know, to bring a guy in Cleveland, and this is just my opinion, I think it's a detriment to the city. I think it's a detriment to the remaining players there. I think if a person has a problem, settle your problem, get that all, and then come back. What they did to Michael Vick and some of these guys, Ben Roethlisberger, Sean Payton, Ray Rice, I mean, was a travesty in itself, too. But this guy is getting a pass at 6 games, my friends. Ralph, final thought, and we'll give it over to Jim, and then we'll get back into the wrestling. And Mr. Brown giving, you know, basically saying thumbs up over here.
Oh, great. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for listening, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Anyway, like I said before, I think Deshaun Watson is a disgrace. But, of course, too, you know, he put himself in that position. Sometimes you do that, and you got gold diggers out there, you know, got some of these women out there that are gold diggers looking for something like that. And here's where we are right now with that. And Smoke and Jim?
Well, I just remember Dabo Sweeney, his college coach, said he'd be the Michael Jordan of the NFL. So he must have been a pretty high character guy in college. I don't know what happened, you know, in Houston. But I did not like the way the Cleveland Browns circumvented the salary cap. They paid him a $40 million signing bonus this year, which nobody can touch, but they only presented his salary at $1 million. And that was a slap in the face, because if he would have served a 6-game fine, you know, suspension, he would have only paid $300,000 of the $230 million guaranteed contract. So I didn't like that. I thought the Cleveland Browns, you know, circumvented and was scumbags way they did the contract to try to save him from having to pay his fair share of the penalty. But like I said, and Mark said it so well, and Ralph laid it all out as well, but I just hope it goes away, because once it goes to federal court, this thing's going to get real ugly.
And I basically agree with you, Jim, and Ralph. It is going to get ugly if it goes to federal court, and that's why what I'm surprised at is, you know, somebody giving a six-game suspension when the NFL really wanted a year on this thing. So I don't quite understand that whole concept of this thing. But, you know, Roger Goodell, to me, has been one of these guys. If he wasn't making the owner's money, he would have been gone a long time ago when the whole Ray Rice situation broke and they were calling for his, you know, head back then. So I look at this situation. He's a lame duck commissioner. You know, if you want to bring some guys back, bring the, you know, the old Pete Rozelle, the Paul Tagliabue's, guys that had character, guys that had integrity. Roger Goodell, to me, doesn't have either one of those things. So that's just my opinion on that thing. But it's sad when you look at the situation and you got, you know, I don't want to use the term prisoners running the asylum, but when you see situations like this, it tunes a lot of people off, and then it just creates other opportunities for people down the, you know, road to do this kind of behavior and get away with it, because they can point to Deshaun Watson and say, well, I can get away now with 100 women, and maybe I might get 8-9 game suspension instead of 6 because I did 20 people more than what Deshaun did. That's the death discrepancy of this whole thing, Ralph and Jim.
Yeah, it's that is it. And, you know, you need to set a precedent. You need to come down and crack the whip. And the NFL hasn't done that, Mark, like you said, and Smoke and Jim also. The NFL hasn't really cracked the whip on this. The commissioner works for the owners, and we all know about Roger Goodell and how he is with certain things. But it's interesting tonight, the Hall of Fame game is going to be two teams with two new coaches, Jacksonville and the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm getting ready to turn that.
Yeah, I was seeing this on XM Sirius, boys, and people laughed at me, but I said, Jacksonville will get to the Super Bowl right when the Chiefs got beat in that Super Bowl by Tampa. I said, Jacksonville will get to the Super Bowl quicker than the Chiefs. You won't see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in the next 5 years. I'm going to still stick with that comment I made a couple years ago, that I think Jacksonville, with all the draft picks they have, I love Trevor Lawrence. Keep your eyes on the Jaguars. They're not right there like the Jets are, but if they were in the NFC, they'd be a playoff team, I would think, right now, because its NFC is wide open after four teams. But they're in that AFC, you know, death march, and that's going to be tough to get, you know, progress on it. But keep your eyes on the Jaguars, man. Back-to-back number ones. I think they got 10 draft picks, and they got a promising decade quarterback there in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, the key there, Mark and Smoke and Jim, is Doug Peterson. You know, they brought him in. He was a good coach with the Eagles. I don't know what happened there. Lurie kind of wanted him out. And, you know, so he's in Jacksonville. He's got a long road to hoe, but we'll see how he does. I think I agree with you, Mark. You know, Jacksonville could be prominent in the next year or two because Doug Peterson doesn't joke around. He brought the Eagles back to prominence, got them to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what he does here. And he's a good offensive mind. He can work with Trevor Lawrence and go from there. Smoke and Jim.
I knew this was going to happen. And before we give it over to you, Smoke and Jim, Bart chiming in. He says, we got the throwdown on Thursdays that you guys allude to, and we got little sports mixed in with wrestling. Guys, stop the presses. Jones and the Giants are the team that are going to the Super Bowl. I don't care who comes out of the AFC, but we're going to be raising that Super Bowl trophy on the Statue of Liberty. God.
Oh, my.
Smoking,
like
Jim. I don't know what this guy is smoking in New York, in New Rochelle.
I don't know what
Cool wherever.
He's drinking.
There's no way that Vince Lombardi's going to be sitting on the Statue of Liberty come February.
But I agree with you, Mark. Trevor Lawrence is this. Got stardom written all over him. Jacksonville is a great place, great city to play. I go all the way back to the Jacksonville Bulls of the USFL.
Yeah.
With Lindy and Farney as the head coach. But I tell you what, the Miami Dolphins have a head coach that has some Pittsburgh ties. His uncles and his grandfather all went to Peabody High School in the City League. So Josh McDaniels is tied into Pittsburgh. But losing all those first-round draft picks and getting hit hard with the National Football League, I'm not sure how long as a first-year head coach that he can keep the team together for the next 2 or 3 years while they get hit real hard with players and draft picks. So he may be back to be an assistant coach real soon.
Yeah, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, always say hi to Ralph Williams. He'll be covering the Pitt Panthers this year. And if you see a media pass around smoking Jim Frazier, well, he's coming out of PNC Park after another Pirate walk-off win. So keep those two things in mind if you're in Pittsburgh with those two boys.
Hey, Mark, listen to this one here. There was a big dedication today right before the game at PNC Park, okay? They had this real big dedication. They put windows up in the bathrooms. You know why? So you could pee and see.
Hey, as we come to the end of this show, I love that one, man. We're down to 3 minutes. As we wrap this thing up, Ralph, let everybody know how you can be reached, and hopefully next week we'll have our buddy in there, Clayton Trutor.
Yeah, I can be reached at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page where you can see Sports Corner and the way I see it. Also on Facebook and also on Wimkin and Twitter. And don't forget about our sponsor, DJ Fun. DJ Fun, he does parties, special events, and weddings. Give him a call today, 412-545-4317. Here's the difference between DJ Fun and these other DJs. DJ Fun's been doing it for well over 10 years. These other DJs, some of them only been doing it 6 months. They charge thousands of dollars. DJ Fun does not do that. Call him today, 412-545-4317. Smoking Jim.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Thanks, Mark. This was a great show. Really enjoyed it. Thanks to all the people that text in. But you can reach me on Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier, Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and as we hit the people, man, 434 for a great show, as always, a very consistent listeners coming through. Guys, as we wind this thing down, all I want to say is I appreciate what you guys bring to the table each and every week, mixed in with a little sports talk, but Mr. Brown brought out of Youngstown, Ohio, to start that trend. We'll be back on next week, same time, same channels, 45 minutes now of Russell talk across the country. We'll find out what the latest will be on SmackDown tomorrow night. We'll find out what Raw is going to bring. We'll find out who's in, who's out, and next opponents as we get ready for Clash at the Castle. And we know Reigns will be going against McIntyre for that one. That one we know for sure. Whether there's going to be a cash-in by Theory or something, we'll have to let you guys figure that one out on your own. You can, you know, throw some chips our way if you think. We also want to let John know that out of Massachusetts, thanks for the insight on AEW with the budget cuts there. That's what we like to listen to each and every week. You listeners converging here and giving us, like, insight. We're a family. So on that note, for Ralph Williams and Smoking Jim Frazier in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here. Same time, same channel next week. Stay tuned at the top of the hour out of Indianapolis. Well, who knows what the hell they'll be doing up there with some chicken casserole. John, Eli, Peggy, and the Mortician. Till then, have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Be safe.